All right, well, I mean, as you're sick of hearing, we're heading off overseas soon. it's going to be European spring, so we're buying jumpers and raincoats and thick woolen socks because it's actually going to be colder than a Brisbane winter. And so we're really thinking about what are we going to wear. We're going to be careful about what we're going to wear. Our plan is to only take carry-on luggage, so that really narrows things down a bit more. We've got to be very careful. We're thinking it through. So we've spent a lot of time in DFO change rooms just lately. And there's a certain protocol to change rooms, depending on which shop you are. But the basic thing about change rooms is you go in, you take your old stuff off, and you put the new stuff on. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Take the old stuff off, put the new stuff on. I had a friend of mine, things can go wrong. I had a friend of mine when he was a teenager. He was with his mum out shopping and trying on a new top, new pair of jeans, and got all tangled up and he fell out through the curtain of the change room into a crowded clothing store, just in his undies, new jeans tangled around his feet. Fortunately, he was a teenager, so he could deal with the embarrassment quite well. But we don't want that. I only use those change rooms with the lockable door. You can fall against it. It doesn't let you out. But no one wants that. And Paul in this passage is helping us not to walk around in our spiritual underwear, as in a way. He's telling us what to wear, what to take off, what to put on. The taking off is important, but the putting on is just as important. He doesn't want us to walk around in a compromising position or an embarrassing way. He wants us to be followers of Jesus who are exhibiting the nature of our Saviour in the way we live. And so from this passage, we're going to take a look at the end of chapter 4, 17 through to 32. We'll look at two things. We've got a dress code, and then we've got a call to check ourselves in the mirror. So let's take a look. There's a dress code. We see that from chapter 4, 17 through to 24. And I want you to notice that this is important to Paul. Take a look at verse 17. So Paul says, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. Notice Paul's posture. He is coming from a position of authority. And he's saying, I need you to understand this. I need you to know that what we're talking about is not a nice suggestion. I'm not just saying, oh, that colour looks good on you, you should wear it more often. This is something that you need to be doing. This is something you need to listen. It's not my authority, says Paul, but it is the Lord's authority. And I, as his apostle, are bringing this message to you. So listen carefully. So today we need to understand this is not just a suggestion, but this is Paul instructing us on how to live as followers of Jesus so that we will not be compromised in our lifestyle, that it will not be embarrassing. And he says that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Now, earlier in Ephesians, we've learned that the Gentiles once were apart from God, but in Christ, now made part of the family. But outside of Christ, if you're a Gentile outside of Christ, if you're someone who does not know God, then your way is futile. Look at that. Do not live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Their darkened understanding, verse 18. This futile thinking, this empty way of thinking, it leads nowhere. It is a darkened path. They're darkened in their understanding. They are separated from the life of God. This does not lead to the path to eternal life. This is not the pathway of light. These people are stuck in the dominion of darkness. Some are walking in that way. Paul says, not for you, not as a follower of Jesus. Some of you used to walk in that way. Walk in that way no longer. Some of you might be tempted to walk in that way. Resist. Do you see what Paul, he is using the authority of Jesus to call us to account, to help us to think about how we are living, how we are dressed as followers of Jesus. Because the way of the Gentile, the way of rejection, the way of, well, look at what he says in verse 18, it's ignorance due to a hardening of their hearts. It's not an ignorance because they just don't know what's going on. It's they're refusing the truth and they keep refusing the truth. I grew up on a farm, and when I was a young fellow, I was very proud of my farmer's hands. Farmer's hands, you get thicker fingers and you get calluses. Calluses are the thing, because you don't want to be a wuss and get blisters while you're using any equipment. And you want to be able to reach down and pick up a black polythene pipe on a 40 degree summer's day and just pick it up and carry it. No sweat. Now I'm a pastor. I've got pastor's hands. It's kind of embarrassing when I go back to Wee War. I can't touch anything. I have to wear gloves. That'd be the worst thing in the world. You see, calluses are good on hands. They're terrible on hearts because it stops, it makes them insensitive. That's having lost all sensitivity, verse 19. They're not sensitive to the word of God. They're not sensitive to the invitation of life. We need to understand that apart from Christ, the lost are truly lost. I mean, just in a society, doesn't that give us a gospel urgency as a church? If we know the truth, then we should be living the truth and calling other people to live the truth. So then it makes sense that we should be putting on gospel clothing. It should be walking around in the right clothing because we are an example to the lost. We are a call to the lost. This is different. You've been called to a new life. It's not an outward thing. It's not just a state of mind. It is a whole of life change. It is a spiritual thing. But they have lost all sensitivity. In fact, they seek connection. They seek joy, but it's in all the wrong places. They give themselves over to sensuality and so indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. You see how what Paul is saying? They misuse the gifts that God has given for all to enjoy, his common grace. They misuse. They seek. They put more weight on these things than these things can bear. These are the things that give joy. These are the things that give identity. These are the things that give security. It won't work. But they are callous. They are hardened to the message of the gospel. But notice the difference. Verse 20, that, however, is not the way of life you learned. Verse 21, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. So Paul is saying that Gentiles, those who fail to respond to Jesus in belief, in saving trust, walk that way. We do not walk that way. We go this way. We do not put that on. We put this on. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But you see, Christ makes the distinction. He is the one whom we listen to. He is the one who instructs us. He is the one we follow. He is the one we trust in. He is the one who brings that difference, that life. You were taught, verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. You see, there's something for us to do. Put off your old self. Take off those old clothes. Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self. You see, he's saying don't walk around in your spiritual undies. You've got to take one thing off, but you certainly got to put the other thing on. Put the new stuff on before you come out of the change room to show your mum. Put on your new clothes, your new self. And notice the new self. It is a new creation. Verse 24, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Take off the old, put on the new. When I mow the lawn, for some reason, I get dust from head to foot, completely dusty. My clothes are filthy, sweaty, and I come in, and before I'm allowed to sit on the couch, what do you think has to happen? Take off the old, put on the new. But there's another part of that, isn't there? There's taking off the old. Before you put on the new, what happens? Shower. That's right. You take a shower. This is what Paul is talking about here. Look, take a look at verse 23. So you take off the old in verse 22. Verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. You see, here is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is changing. He is bringing life. He changes your heart. So it's no longer a calloused heart, but it's no longer a stone heart, but it's a heart of flesh. It listens to God, responds to him, has life. We are new creations. We've read this before in Ephesians. We were dead in our sins and transgressions, but now we have been made alive. The creation word is God speaking something out of nothing. Life did not exist in us, but God through his word brought life. It is that creation word. God is creating something new. So the Christian life is not just that we understand something. It's not just some information that we have. It is a changed life. It is a spiritual thing. The whole of everything changes. We have a shower and then we put on our new clothes. We are created, new creations in Christ in true righteousness. So we are declared right in our standing through the work of God. We are declared right in our standing before God, and we are called to holiness. We'll talk about holiness in a minute, but this is the growing in Christ's likeness as we live out our lives. So there is something for us to do. We enter the change room of salvation. We take off the old. I guess we have a shower. The Spirit does something in us, and we put on the new. There is a dress code. We've got a dress code for the wedding. Have you had a wedding invitation that says cocktail attire? That's just freedom to wear whatever you really feel like, I think, cocktail attire. This our wedding we're going to is formal. Okay, would have been better if it was cocktail. It's formal, European formal. So there's a dress code. There's something specific. Now, Paul is saying there is something specific. He is calling us to practice being godly. We sang that song, didn't we? He saved our... What is it? Anyway, doesn't matter. Practice being godly. I had it there for a minute. Practice being godly. And to do that, we need the mirror. The mirror of Christ. Check yourself in the mirror. This is what Paul is saying in the next section. Let's take a look. Check your look. Check your new self in the mirror. That's what you do when you come out of a change room. You put the new stuff on. You walk in front of the mirror. Does that look good? Do I look skinny in this? Just wear black. That's the secret. Check your look in the mirror. So, verse 25. Therefore, each one of you must take off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of the one body. Take off lies, put on the truth. Check your look. Check your words. So easy. This is a character thing. This is a Christian character thing. Are we being truthful? I forgot to put something in the calendar the other day, and then I text someone else that I was supposed to meet up with, and I said, I've got a conflict. And I was texting the text, and I was reading the text, and I thought, actually, that's not entirely true. I said, redo it. Sorry, I've made a terrible mistake. I've double booked. It's my fault. Would you be able to change it, your time? It's nothing big, really. That person wouldn't know, but I think working through this passage, no. I think in everything, we need to be telling the truth, because that reflects the nature of the God whom we love, the God who has saved us. He is truthful. He does not lie. We are truthful. We do not lie. And so we're checking ourselves in the mirror. Is this the character of Christ? Verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. That's telling us that we, in your anger, in your righteous anger, when you are angry about injustice, when you are angry at the effects of sin, when you are angry at the nature of a world which rejects God, its creator, do not sin. Don't let the sun, this is what they say in marriage courses, this is good marriage advice. Don't let the sun go down on an argument. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Actually, this is Psalm 4, verse 4. Really, the sense of this is hand it over to God. In your righteous anger, as these things inflame you, we should be angry about sin. We should be angry about injustice. Of course, we should flare up and hate things that God hates. But as we do that, hand them over to God. He is the one who is in control. We submit to him. Anyone who is stealing, verse 28, verse 27, do not give the devil a foothold. You see, we're in a spiritual battle. We'll learn that next week. But when you are angry at what God is angry at and hand it over to God to do what he will do, we are not letting the devil get a foothold. But verse 28, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. So the eighth commandment, do not steal, pretty straightforward. But notice that Paul adds to this one, don't steal, but get a job doing something useful with your hands that they may have something to share with those in need. So it's not only don't steal, but it's to change the whole thing, isn't it? Don't steal, get a job, and be generous with what you've got. Check your look in the mirror. Are you reflecting the nature of Christ? Is what you're wearing reflecting the nature of Christ? Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouth. That's literally rotten talk. That's the word like rotten fruit. You know, avocados, they're rock hard, and then there's about a, 10-minute window where they're perfect, and then they go black and squishy. Oh, that was rock hard yesterday, now it's, I can't use it. That rotten. Okay, so don't let that rotten language be used among us. Verse 29, do not let unwholesome talk, that rotten language, out of your mouths. Only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You see, in verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Notice how the way you respond in the family of God, this can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. He is personal. We are in relationship with him. He lives in us and he lives among us. We are the temple, the people. We are the temple. And so it matters how we talk to one another. It matters that we're truthful with one another. It matters that we're clear. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He is grieved when we don't pay careful and good attention to the way we are living together. Verse 31 and 32, pick that up. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and... So that's the taking off, isn't it? Get rid of, take off. Verse 32, but put on, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, in Christ, God forgave you. Forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. It's pretty significant, isn't it? That is a big call. When I was a young fellow, we used to, on the farm, go irrigating. At the beginning of the irrigating season, it was still cold, very cold. So you're walking around in mud and water, and it's cold in the morning. And the worst thing was the next morning where you get up and you put your socks and your boots on and they're still wet from the day before. And it's cold, you're tired, you don't want to go out and help Dad. I don't care if you pay me, I don't want to go out. You're coming out anyway. Put your muddy, wet socks on. It's disgusting. I can't tell you how bad it is. That is the feeling we need to have when we think about putting on the old again, letting the old come through again. Take that off. Keep it off. Don't put it back on. Guard our congregation. That's hard work, isn't it? It's really hard work. But we need to be mindful that Christ has called us to a way of living, to take something off and to put something on in its place. That is the way we stop from being embarrassed or calling into question the claim of being followers of Jesus. Don't go back to the old way of life. Don't put it back on. As I said, we're packing so that we just carry on luggage. That's the plan. See how we go. We've got to fit in raincoats, puffer jackets, flannelette shirts, long johns, fat woolly socks, the whole thing. So we're being very selective. Does everything go with everything else? So I don't have to, you know, I've got just everything, doesn't matter what I put on, it'll be fine. Does it meet the requirements and does it fit in the case? That's the thing. Because we want to walk, we are walking the walk well dressed, well prepared. And that is the whole call of our series, isn't it? Walking the walk. How do we do that? I think we need to, in closing, we need to understand four things. Okay, justification. These are 50-cent words. Justification. That we have been declared right before God on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done. So we're not saying you put on the new clothes to earn God's favour. But we are confident before God that we are made right through what Christ has done. We have justified, just as if I had never sinned. Even better than that, it's I have sinned and God has forgiven me. He's shown me great grace and mercy. So we are justified. We need to understand the next 50-cent word is sanctified. Sanctification is the process of us growing in godliness throughout our life. Justification is a one-time thing. You are declared right with God, done. Sanctification is the ongoing process of growing in our godliness. And this is what Paul is calling us to. Take off the old, put on the new. And it's a continuous thing. Keep taking off the old. Every time it appears, take it off and put on the new. And so this is an ongoing all of life process, sanctification. The old guys, Puritans, used to call it the mortification of sin, killing off sin. As you see it sprouting in your life, kill it off, pluck it out, throw it away. So we've got justification, declared right with God. That's where our confidence lies. Sanctification, this is our response of obedient gratitude, showing more and more the likeness of Christ in the way we live. I think thirdly, we need to understand that we have the Holy Spirit living in us. He lives in us. He enables us to overcome temptation. He enables us to delight in God's word. He enables us to understand and apply God's word. We're not calloused, but the Holy Spirit works in us so that we may understand, so that we may live lives which are pleasing to God, that we may walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And so we need to hold on to that. We are not by ourselves in this. God lives in us. You see, Christianity is not just this stuff we know. It is actually Jesus dwelling in us by the power of his Spirit bringing change to our life. And fourth and finally, we have victory over sin and the devil. If you, James, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's victory. When you face temptation, call out, Lord, help me. Titus 2, the grace of God has appeared that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Yell out no when you're tempted. I told you about the old fella I know. He used to, if he was ever tempted, he'd just yell no. No! Titus 2. But we have the victory through Christ. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. So we can do this. We can. Paul is not calling us to something that we can't do because the Holy Spirit lives in us and he enables us. We have a job to do. We have a part to play. We have clothes to wear. Let me close with the verse that we opened with. So Colossians 1:23 says this. 22. But now, Colossians 1:22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, am a steward. That's right. We hold the hope of Christ. We seek by his power to live in a way which honours him. We take off the old and we put on the new.